Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father God, we come before you in the name of Yeshua, and we ask that you would be with us during this time. I pray that you'd give each one of us an understanding and discerning mind. I pray that we would have ears that would not just hear, but would listen intently. I pray that your words would be planted on fertile soil upon our hearts, that we would produce fruit for the kingdom of God. I just pray you bless this time in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad everyone is here today. The actual, in the handout for the conference, it gives a little synopsis about what this message is about. Actually, it was not quite correct what was in there, because I turned in 3 or 4 lines and they just picked out one random line that really wasn't the topic. But today I'll be sharing on Joseph, a man after God's own heart. And that's the message that we have been hearing a lot about, haven't we? A lot about Joseph. But what I'm going to do today is looking at it from a little different angle, a different perspective here. We heard this morning, for those who were at the Torah service, when they were reading from the Torah, we heard Ani Yosef, which means I am Yosef, where he revealed himself to his brothers. I remember when I was in Hebrew school as a young boy of 10, 11, 12, just, you know, a few years ago. I remember when I was learning Hebrew, they taught you how to say your name. My Hebrew name is Yosef, by the way. My great-grandfather was Joseph. Yosef, I'm named after him. When I had my Brit Milah, which is the covenant of circumcision, a ceremony that takes place on a boy's 8th day, when I was circumcised, I remember it well. It was a very sad, painful day. But anyway, I was given the name Yosef, and I have a certificate that says Yosef on it. Anyway, but I say that all because today I'm going to be using his Hebrew name, Yosef, rather than Joseph. Okay? I like Yosef. I think he's a great guy. One of my favorite characters in the scripture. I want to start off today by actually reading 5 scriptures to you about Yosef. And then we're going to go into detail about these scriptures and about Yosef. The first one, and again, these are all listed on your handout, all the scriptures that we're going to be using today. The first is from Genesis chapter 50, verses 24 through 26. And in there it says that Yosef said to his brothers, "I am dying, but God will surely remember you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Yitzchak, and Yaakov." Then Yosef took an oath from the sons of Israel, "God will surely remember you, and you are to carry my bones up from here." So Yosef died at the age of 110, and they embalmed him. And by the way, embalming is not normally done for the Jewish people now. It's really against Jewish custom, tradition, and law to embalm, because you want ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You want the body to decay immediately and not be like Twinkies that we buy today, where you take a Twinkie and put it on the counter and it'll stay soft for 20 years.
True story.
But we want the body to decay. So this was really an Egyptian way of doing things. That's why we find mummies like King Tut and others, and they're all somewhat preserved because they embalmed him. And then it says, and they put him in a coffin. Do you remember who saw the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? Anybody ever heard of that movie?
Yeah.
A few of you have heard that. Remember when they're getting ready to leave Egypt and they're all marching out and they're carrying the bones of Yosef, and you hear, anyway, they're carrying out the bones. Well, this is what it's talking about. They're carrying out the bones of Yosef out of Egypt. The second scripture here is from Exodus chapter 13 and verse 19, where it says that Moses took the bones of Yosef with him, For Yosef had made the people of Israel swear an oath when he said, God will certainly remember you, and you are to carry my bones up with you from here. And this was from Genesis, where we just saw a moment earlier. Now we're going to jump ahead to Joshua, which happens to be my son's name, so it kind of works out better. Joshua chapter 24, verse 32, where it says, the bones of Yosef, which the people of Israel had brought up from Egypt, they buried in Shechem, in the parcel of ground which Yaakov had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and they became a possession of the descendants of Yosef. Interestingly, you know, when you look at Israel today and there's all this conflict between the Jewish nation and the Palestinians over the land and who this land belongs to, when you read in Genesis, you see that Abraham bought land, and the sons of Jacob, they bought this land. All this land was bought, paid for, signed, sealed, delivered, contract, everything. It belongs to the Jewish people.
Amen.
The deed is in here. This is where you find the deed to all of that. Now, skipping ahead to the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant Scripture, it says, by trusting, Yosef, near the end of his life, remembered about the Exodus and of the people of Israel and gave instructions about what to do with his bones. And then going back to Genesis 41:45, it says that Pharaoh called Yosef by the name Zephanat-Paneach. I love that, Zephanat-Paneach. That's a wonderful name. Now there's several things about the character of Yosef that can be gleaned from these five scriptures that we can just look to, and I'm going to go over six things right here. The first, we see that Yosef was indeed a prophet of God. No doubt, he was a prophet of God. And in faith, he predicted that the Lord would come and deliver Israel from the bondage of Egypt to the land promised on oath to the patriarchs Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Second, we see that Yosef died at the age of 110 years old, which was considered in Egypt to be the ideal lifespan of a truly righteous man, blessed of the Almighty God. And then Joshua, who happened to be a descendant of Yosef through Ephraim, also lived to be 110 years old, just like his predecessor. And the scripture also commended him as being the servant of Adonai, the servant of the Lord. Thirdly, the children of Israel so regarded the life of Yosef that even 360 years later, you get it? 360 years later, after his death, that Moses had his bones carried out of Egypt to the promised land. They didn't forget that. Remember, they swear that you'll take my bones. 360 years later, they listened to that. They carried his bones to the promised land. And during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Bamidbar, the wilderness, they carried those bones with them that whole time. Interesting, you never even hear it mentioned during those 40 years, anything about the bones, but somebody obviously took care of them and had them, and who knows, but you never hear any mention of it. Fourth, after Israel entered the promised land and conquered it and divided the land among the 12 tribes, the memory and life of Yosef was honored. Now, remember I said 360 years? Now it's 400 years later, after his death, when his bones were finally put to rest in the land that was allotted to his descendants, that was allotted to the tribe of Ephraim. His bones were finally put to rest. Fifthly, Yosef is commended by the author of the book of Hebrews, which we don't really know who wrote it, as one of the heroes of the faith. Let me tell you, he's my hero. I think he was a great guy. I loved reading about Yosef. And it says he trusted God with faith eyes into the future. He could see into the future what God was doing. He was a prophet, knowing that the word of the Lord is true. And the sixth point here is some translators have interpreted that name, Stephanoponeah, to mean Savior of the world. It has various meanings, but one of them is Savior of the world. So in this sense, we say that Yosef's mission here foreshadowed that of Yeshua, the Messiah, who we know to be the Savior, the Goel, the Redeemer of the world, that there is that parallel lifestyle. Actually, I finished a two-part teaching about Yosef, the Messianic precursor. It's on our website. It was a two-part series, and there's actually several, what I think that was like 120 parallels where you can compare the life of Yosef to the life of Yeshua. It's just amazing, the parallel in their life. You know, when we think of the patriarchs, that is, and we picture Abraham, we see him as the man of faith. We see Isaac then as the son of promise. And we see Jacob as being the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, or descended from his loins. However, if you look at the book of Genesis, more than any other person in the whole book of Genesis, more words, more things are written about the life of Yosef than anybody else. And also, there's not anything negative, not a single negative word said about him throughout the entire book of Genesis where it speaks of him, because he was a man of nobility and character and faith and trust in God. He also was, it shows his nobility of character, his purity of heart, integrity of life, and his generosity of spirit as a ruler and a brother. So in this Yosef, this son of Yaakov, the Torah paints a beautiful portrait of a man whose heart is totally sold out to God. And that's what we're going to be covering today, Joseph or Yosef, a man after God's own heart. And again, the Torah pictures or paints such a beautiful picture of that in his life. He's totally, completely sold out to God. And there's no temptation, such in his case in Potiphar's wife, who came after him, no injustice being put into slavery and prison, no suffering, no humiliation could turn him from wholeheartedly serving the living God. Nothing could keep him from serving God. I wish that was the same in our lives, because we go through so many things, don't we? All the things that we go through, you know, and right away we give up a lot of times. You know, I broke my nails. God doesn't love me. You know, so many crazy things. Look what he went through, and he did not lose faith and trust in God. Continue to serve him. More than any character that we see in the first covenant of Scripture here, we see that Yosef is a depiction, a picture, a foreshadow of the Messiah, Yeshua. It's just amazing in that character, in that sense. No wonder that our sages, the Jewish sages, taught that the Messiah would first come as the Mashiach ben Yosef, would first come as the Messiah, the son of David, who would suffer for his people, Israel. However, our sages also believed that Mashiach ben David, Messiah, the son of David, would then follow after that sometime in the future. And he would rule as Melech Israel, as the king of Israel. And we see that after Yosef suffered, after he went through slavery and the prison and
being falsely accused and all that he went through, all that suffering that he went through for his people, God then raised him up in the midst of all of that. And he then became just like Messiah ben David. He became a ruler over all of Egypt, typifying also the life of Messiah Yeshua. And we believe, you know, that Yeshua came the first time as the Mashiach ben Yosef, as the one who would suffer, die for his people. But we are believers, and I believe all of us are believers in our here, I hope, that he will come back a second time as the Messiah ben David, as the Messiah, the ruling King Messiah. You know, our Jewish people during the Roman occupation of Israel, and I'm not going to say Palestine, of Israel, they were looking for a Messiah who would come, you know, with a white stallion and a sword and slashing and cutting those Romans and freeing the land. They weren't expecting Messiah to come in a humble manner, being born in a sukkah, not a manger, born in a sukkah. I like to sing during Sukkot when we have it, away in a sukkah. I always sing that because that's where he really was born, in a sukkah. But where was I, by the way? Okay. So we see that he would come back, or Yeshua will come back as the Messiah, the son of David. And in the life of Yosef, you really see both Messiahs being portrayed, the suffering servant and then the ruler. Now in the life of Yosef, we see the value of a character that's centered in faith and trust in God. He was devoted to serving God and man with all honor, with dependability, unwilling to be deterred by hatred against him, by being betrayed by his brothers, and humiliated by Potiphar's wife, and forgetfulness of others while he was in prison. They forgot about him, and they didn't tell Pharaoh about him, and he was willing to forgive the wrongs committed by others, and he was able to see the big picture, which we can't always see. We're so focused on and pinpointed on the little picture in front of us and things that were going on, we don't see the whole picture in front of us. And like we heard last night with Dr. Michael Brown, if we don't see it happen immediately right now, then we begin to lose faith because it's not happening on our timetable and in our way, but it's all according to God's timing. And he was able to see the big picture of God's wonderful workings in the affairs of man. Now, the character of Yosef, I believe, inspires us to develop our character as well. We have to be continuing to work on our character, don't we? Because a lot of us don't have good characters. We're characters, that's for sure. You guys are all characters in here, no doubt. But God, we are supposed to have the character of Messiah, right? That's who we are to be formed to, not to some cartoon character, right? That we can be an example, as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, be example to the believers in our word, the things that we say, in our conduct, how we live our lives, in love. Do we have that love of Messiah in spirit? Is the Ruach of Elohim upon and in our lives? In faith, do we believe and trust God that his word is yes and amen in Messiah Yeshua? And in purity, we have to be that example in purity. More and more I am convicted in so many areas of my life during with purity. We live in such a moral degrading society. It's so hard to turn on a television. It's so hard to go to a movie anymore. PG now is like R-rated movies, and some PG movies are even getting closer to X-rated movies. I mean, it's a terrible society where If it feels good, you just do it. And this is not pleasing to God in any way whatsoever. Certainly this is in the case we have to, as I see, be an example like Yosef was, as it said in 1 Timothy. This is a man after God's own heart. And Yosef will learn what it means to have a heart for God. Starting in Genesis chapter 39, I hope you all have scriptures with you. Genesis 39, just like your American Express card, which I don't know very many people who have one, by the way. Don't leave home without it. Okay? Have your scriptures with you. So starting in Genesis chapter 39, we see Yosef as a slave and as an alien. He was working for Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials. However, when Potiphar found him to be alert and quick and trustworthy and saw that the Lord was with him, we need to see that the Lord is with us, people. Is the Lord with you? He set him over the entire household as his trusted overseer. Here we begin to see Abraham's blessing to the nations. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse you who curse you. And all the nations of the world will be blessed through you. We see this blessing of Abraham in the life of Yosef as he's working in Potiphar's house here. Three times in this chapter 39 of Genesis, it says that Adonai, that the Lord was with Yosef. This is also mentioned by Stephen in Acts chapter 7 when he was being martyred for his faith in Yeshua. And immediately we see that Yosef's heart is bent on serving God. He wants to serve God no matter what the circumstance or situation. And in the book of Psalm chapter 128, verses 1 through 2, it speaks of this type of character. It says, "Blessed are all who fear Adonai, who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours." People, I encourage you to live this scripture. Fear the Lord, walk in his ways, and then you'll see God's blessings in your life. And we next see that Potiphar's wife took notice of Yosef because he was well built and handsome. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Yosef, my Hebrew name, given at my 8th day. I got a certificate, it all says it. And I relate to this, that he was handsome and well built and all of that. That's, I can't help it, you know. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Anyway, praise the Lord. So he sees that he's well built and handsome, and she attempts to seduce him. And again here we see the very heart and we see the character of Yosef, that he was totally sold out to God. Normally other men would have said, yippee, you know, and gone for it. But he said, no, this is nothing. I won't do this. He was able to resist the temptation. And it says, since Yosef was in constant communion with God, just like we need to be in constant communion with God, sinning with this woman would have been utterly out of the question. It wasn't even a thought in his mind. It would have been a direct sin against God. And you know, and when we do things, we need to see also the things that we do are a direct sin against God. Sometimes we forget that. We say, oh, well, it's nothing big. It's just a little lie, or it's just a, some, you know, we try to make it small, but you're sinning against God. And he realized that he would be sinning against God, and we need to realize that we sin against God when we do things that are against his word. Because Yosef was a man of high moral integrity, and he understood holiness, and he understood purity before the living God. He didn't allow the thought of some momentary pleasure and desires to overcome him. He said, no, I serve the living, enduring, Holy One of Israel. Now, Peter speaks about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16, where it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. People, you don't live in ignorance anymore. Don't come to your rabbis and act dumb. All right? I deal with this all the time. You're not dumb. You're not ignorant. What does God's word say? Follow God's word. That's all you have to do. Follow the word. But just as he who called you is holy, so you be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy, because God is holy. We also read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2, do not live the rest of this earthly life for evil human desires. That's not what God has called you to fulfill your evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Seek out what is the will of God, as Yosef did. What is God telling me? What is the will of God for my life? Because of Yosef's unwillingness to sin with Potiphar's wife, he was then falsely accused by her of attempted rape. He was unjustly thrown into the prisons of Egypt for life. Let me tell you, you compare the prisons of Egypt to the prisons of nowadays, you would think the prison today would have been a country club.
Yeah.
You know, like you're going away for a resort.
They are.
Compared to being in the prisons of Egypt for life. Can't even imagine how horrible it would have been. However, once again, Adonai, the Lord was with him, as the Lord needs to be with you and me. And he showed Joseph kindness and he showed him favor. And we read in the scriptures that it says that the warden, the man who was in charge of the prison, put Joseph in charge of those that were held in the prison. So he was like the head inmate in the prison here. And he was made responsible for everything that was done there, everything that was taking place. He was responsible for it. God raised him up even in the prison here. And it says, because the Lord was with Yosef. He was with him. People, you need to feel that the Lord is with you. And if you don't feel that he's with you, then you're doing something wrong. I struggle with that sometimes, and we all struggle with it. When things don't happen the way we want them to, when we're going through sufferings and sicknesses and pains and family issues and job issues and all that, we feel that the Lord is not with us. But he's promised to never leave you or forsake you, that he will be with you to the very end of the age. Live and take hold of that promise there. Thank you, Lord. But even though he was put in charge of prison, he was still in prison, okay? Which was now no party, for sure. Now, skipping ahead, we look at chapter 41. And again, I'm trying to build up this character of Joseph as a man after God's own heart. You see then, chapter 41, that through the power and wisdom of God, that Joseph rightly interprets, and here's where we see his prophetic character. He was a prophet of God. He rightly interprets the dreams of the Pharaoh concerning future events that were going to affect Egypt, and not just Egypt, but the entire world would be affected. And he rightly interpreted these future events. So as a result of this prophetic character and nature he had, and people could see, the Pharaoh could see, and Potiphar and others, that the Lord was with him, the Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of the whole land of Egypt. So here he's going from the Messiah ben Joseph, the suffering servant, now he's becoming like Yeshua as the Messiah ben David, who would be now the ruler and head of Egypt, just under Pharaoh. Because he realized, the Pharaoh realized that the Ruach Elohim, that the Spirit of God was with him. Thank you, Lord. And there was no one as discerning, no one as wise as Yosef. Now, I actually think that Yosef was wiser than Solomon, myself. You don't see anything that Yosef did wrong. He had dreams. He told his family about that. I mean, that wasn't sin. He just said, we have a dream. I have a dream. I say, hey, hon, I had this dream last night. It was bizarre. Let me tell you about it. Well, he did the same thing. It wasn't sin at all. But Solomon, oy vey, Solomon, how many hundreds or thousands of wives did he have? And all the crazy, sinful things that he got into. And he was the wisest man. I think Yosef was pretty wise of a man here. Very discerning. So powerful was Yosef in this God-appointed position that only with respect to the throne was Pharaoh greater than Yosef. Even Pharaoh's signet ring, which represented power and authority, was placed on the hand of Yosef. This is just like, remember in the book of Esther, when Mordechai gets the ring of Ahasuerus to put on his hand, and he became second in the land of Persia and Media, just like this. And he was so powerful, he had such position, power and responsibility, that can only come upon those whose hearts are completely set on serving God. And we have to be completely set on serving the Lord. And the Lord, he blessed Yosef with great wisdom, and all that he interpreted came to pass. It all came to pass and was true. And the Lord made him fruitful in the land of his suffering. That's why the Lord blessed him, that he was able to have children in Egypt. And his first son's name was Menasheh, meaning causing to forget. God allowed him to forget the sufferings and all that he went through. And then second son, Ephraim, which means fruit, that through his suffering and all he went through, he was able to finally forget it and then to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. It's important the names that you pick, by the way. When we had our kids, my wife and I, say that we had our two children, my daughter I named Tova, like we say on Rosh Hashanah, the Shana Tova, it means good, pleasant, happy. That's what I wanted her to be. And then my son Joshua, I love that name Joshua because it's related to Yeshua and having to do with God as my salvation, that I wanted him to be someone who would reach our people. So we need to pick names for our children that have some significance to them. Now moving ahead to chapter 45 in your scriptures here, we see that Yosef was a man who desired to do God's will. No injustice and no suffering or pain could persuade him from turning his heart away from the Lord. Yosef had made it through the forgiveness and was able to look back and see God's hand in everything that had taken place. And we also, people, in this story, this is a beautiful story of forgiveness. He was able to forgive those who despitefully used him, treated him bad, his brothers who threw him in the well, in the ground, and sold him into slavery, and all of that, and all he went through, he was able to forgive. And people, I know we go through tough things, but we have to be people who have forgiveness. We have to be able to show forgiveness. Doesn't matter who did what to you, you have to show that forgiveness so that you're able to touch their life for the kingdom of God and not bear grudges in any way whatsoever. And his brothers had also dealt with the guilt, and they were able to look forward to a very prosperous future because of their brother Yosef, who they had hated originally, but God had raised up to bring, become as a savior to the world at that time. The essence of this entire story about Yosef is really summed up in this chapter here. It says in that God had sent Yosef to the land of Egypt. He was sent there. He wasn't taken, he was sent there. It says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 through 21, "But Yosef said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You meant to do me harm. You meant to sin against me. But God meant it for good.'" As it says in Romans 8, we heard, I think Mara mentioned it this morning in teaching, that all things work together for good for those who love God and called according to their purposes here. "But God meant it for good, so that it would come about as it is today, with many people's lives being saved." He would be a savior, save many people's lives, as Yeshua is the savior, our Goel, our redeemer here. "So don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he comforted them, speaking kindly to them. It was God's plan, God's perfect plan, that Yosef had been sold into slavery, and it was God's plan that he was put in bonds and in prison. No device of man was able to stop or change the plans that God had prepared. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that we are God's workmanship, created in the Messiah, Yeshua, to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. There is a plan for our lives. Please understand, there is a plan for your life. God has planned out your life, and it's a perfect plan that God put together just for you, because he loves you specially. Thank you, Lord. As long as we seek him, and we have to seek God, of course. God doesn't plan for us to sin, and God doesn't plan for us to go to prison, and God doesn't plan for us to do all these terrible things. He has a good plan for us, but we have to seek God. We have to trust him with all of our heart. Seek him in his righteousness, walking free of sin. And when we do so, we can expect him to work wonderful things in our lives. And no jealous brothers, no lying, immoral woman, prison, famine was able to alter God's plan for Yosef, and nothing is able to alter God's plan for your life when you put your faith and trust in him. It's going to come about, take place, because God loves you and has a specific plan for your life. He has a plan for us in these last days that we're in. Who knows when the end of the age is going to come? I believe we're in that time period where we're getting into the end of the age and God's final plan and the redemption of the world and the salvation of Jewish people and all of these things. But it's crucial that we are able to take hold of a part of what he has for us and get the assurance that Yosef had, that while he was in prison, and I'm going to quote that scripture again from Romans 8 that says that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. For those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, Yeshua, the Messiah. So if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. Nobody can be against us. Thank you, Lord. Now, Yosef was a man who desired. He was anxious. He was excited to do God's will. We need to be excited to do God's will. Anxious. Desirous to do God's will. He understood God's love and plan for his life. He could see a greater purpose for the events that were taking place and surrounding his life. Nothing was going to interfere with his love for God and his desire to seek and do the will of God. Nothing was going to get in the way. It's got to be the same thing for us, that nothing gets in our way that will keep us from doing the will of God in our life. You know, suffering does not separate believers from God. It may feel that sometimes when you're going through sickness and suffering. Is that right, David? Sometimes it feels that way. Where is God? You know, God, you told me I have to do this. I'm supposed to do this, but you shackle me with this sickness or these problems and this and that. How am I supposed to do what you want me to do when I feel so sick and I can't stand up and I'm in pain and I'm suffering, Lord? And just as we heard, you know, Dr. Michael Brown, did I really hear your will, Lord? Did I really hear your voice, or did I get ahead of you? We begin to doubt and lose faith in God. But he could see the greater purpose for the things taking place in his life. Nothing was interfering with it. And again, suffering doesn't separate the believers from God. It actually carries them along toward their ultimate goal. Suffering has always been the part of the experience of believers, to suffer. This is what it says in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider pure joy. Oh, sometimes I hate that scripture. Consider pure joy, you know, when you're going through all this suffering. Oh, praise the Lord. Yay! I'm suffering, Lord. Oh. Listen, that's not me. Oh, I want it to be me. I don't even understand the scripture. You know, it's hard for us to understand, isn't it? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the car accident, my broken leg, and my concussion. Oh, joy, 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 joy down in my heart, right? Oh, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Sometimes we say, well, I don't want to persevere. Oh. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. What do you mean I need to be mature? I'm 60 years old. I mean, I should be mature by now, right? But, oh, he wants us to mature more. What about you, Jeannie? You need to be matured more, right?
I'm past where you are.
Oh, I know you're past, but I know you're a few years older than I, but you still need to mature in your perseverance.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you, Lord. Not lacking anything. Verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive. God's going to give you. You're going to receive the crown of life that God has promised to you, to those who love him. Listen, it says crown of life. He's not going to take a crown of thorns and put it on your head. We've all seen Yeshua, you know, depicted in movies where he takes this crown of thorns and put it on his head and it sticks the thorns and the blood is starting to drip down and this, don't faint, okay? That's not what you're going to get. You're not getting a crown of thorns. You're getting a crown of life and a crown of glory. That's what you have to look forward to. That's what Yosef had to look forward to. He was a man after the heart of God. God has a wonderful plan. God has a wonderful purpose for our lives. It begins with, first of all, it begins with our acceptance of his son, Yeshua. And it continues as we walk with him. We have to continue to walk in him. And our stubbornness and our resistance toward God does not affect, change, or compromise his plans for us. Let me ask you, is anyone in here stubborn? One or two of you here? Okay, just a couple of you here. Any of you ever resist God dealings in your life? Yeah. One, two of you here? Do you think any of that's going to affect anything? Do you think it's going to change God's heart or his mind or compromise his plans for you? I don't think so in any way whatsoever. You can cry like a baby, roll on the ground, kick your feet, and all those things. It's not going to change anything at all. Just continue to persevere and trust him. We may not always see the big picture, but God has a beautiful plan for each one of our lives. Thank you, Lord. All it does, let me tell you, it delays the inevitable. It delays it. That's all it does. It's going to happen. You're just delaying a little bit. God's going to have his way. No doubt about it. God is going to have his way. I love this. You can choose to walk alongside him, or he can drag you along the way. Right? You want to be dragged or walk alongside God? Reminds me of, I don't know, I don't even know if there were cavemen. I mean, unless you get into the evolution and all that. And darn. Anyway, but you know how we always hear about cavemen would drag their women by their hair like this? You want God to grab you and drag you? Well, he's not going to have much to grab on my head there. Anyway, but anyway, I want to walk alongside God. I don't want to be dragged along the way. And Yosef was not about to allow his personal sufferings and sorrow to get in the way of God's plan and purpose for his life. He understood that nothing can separate him from the love of God. And I know the scripture was read earlier, I don't know if Mara or whoever said this, but Rosh Shmuel, the Apostle Paul, said in Romans chapter 8, starting verse 35, that who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall trouble, I mean, this really speaks of Yosef here, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword? Well, these are things he went through. Verse 37, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Do you think he felt he was a conqueror when he was in prison? I don't think so. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. And that's true. Regardless of what you think, regardless of what you feel, this is true. You can either walk along with God, as they said, or you can be dragged by God. How many of us would have acted in kindness and mercy like Yosef did? How many? Oh, gosh. Few of us, if any of us, would have done that. I probably saw my brothers and I said, oh, man, I'm going to get them. Throw me in prison. See, okay, let me show you. See if you like prison. See if you like being a slave. Probably what I would have done, right? Because that's our human nature and our character. Let's get that. Let's get him. Who would act like that? I don't know. Willing to forget. Willing to forgive. Willing to let bygones be bygones. Yosef was a man, such a man, because he understood the plans and purposes of God. And he was eager. He desired to do the will of God. Now, as I mentioned, the rabbis say Yosef is a foreshadow. He's a picture of the Messiah ben Yosef, the suffering Messiah. And he certainly did suffer. He suffered. That he was a picture of the suffering Messiah. Just as Yeshua came and suffered and died for his people. However, he was also like the Messiah in character, in the way he lived. He was willing to love his enemies, as Yeshua was, and pray for them, and do good to those who persecute him, despitefully used him. He blessed those who persecuted him, and he did not repay evil for evil, like would be our normal human way of dealing with hurt that we've gone through. We've all gone through hurt, and that's how we normally deal with it. We want to strike back to show the love of God. He was careful to do right in the eyes of God, and he was able. And he loved those who mistreated and used him. Yosef was able to act like this because he was a man after the very heart of God here. And a result of his suffering, he also fully typified the second understanding of the Messiah by our sages. He also was a picture of the Messiah ben David. That is, after he went through this suffering, and after he went through all the trials and tribulations and saved his people and all of that, he was able then to assume the role of the Messiah ben David, the kingly, ruling Messiah over Israel. And that's the same with us. After we go through sometimes through the suffering and the trials and the pain, then we're able to be lifted up and be what God has really meant for us all to be. And this is an excellent example for all of us to follow, that each one of us would desire to do God's will, that nothing would be able to separate us from the love of God that is in the Messiah Yeshua, that through all the difficulties and all the trials and all the sufferings and the tribulations, that we will follow the words of Rasha'ul, the Apostle Paul, written in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2, where it says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which the Messiah Yeshua took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind," Yosef had to forget the behind, the past, "and straining toward for what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Messiah Yeshua." There's a prize awaiting each and every one of us, and we have to take hold of it, pressing on here. And I got 5 minutes. Yosef was a man of high moral. She's back there looking at me, you know, with those eyes. "You better get done." Yosef was a man of high moral integrity. He was eager. Okay. Now you got me all flustered now. Uh-oh. Hide yourself. Man of high moral integrity, eager to do the will of God in a time, a day, and a place where moral degradation was the standard of the day. The standard of, well, I guess that even says for today.
Yeah.
I mean, we're worse than Egypt ever was. I mean, we're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah ever was.
Amen.
The United States is destined for destruction. Don't think otherwise. Oh, we're under the wrath of God, this nation. Oh. Yet in the midst of all of this, he sought to follow the heart of God and to seek what was right in God's eye. He was the shining light in the darkness of Egypt. We just finished Hanukkah about a week ago, something like that. I don't remember what day it was. But on the Hanukkah that we all lit on Hanukkah, we know the Shamash, the servant candle, gives light. And it gives light to all the other ones. It serves. And this is a picture of our Messiah, Yeshua, the servant that brings eternal life to those who put their faith and trust in him. We too need to be a shining beacon of light like Yosef was. We need to put our full faith and trust in God. We need to follow the words of Yeshua spoken in Matthew 5:16. "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And in these last days that we're in, surrounded by evil and degradation, the Lord desires that we stand out, all of us here, stand out as a shiny beacon of light in the midst of darkness, just like Yosef did. He desires that we clothe ourselves with his armor of light and show forth his holiness and integrity and truly become people following after God's own heart.
Yes.
And it says in the scripture, "For once you were in darkness, but now you are in the light in the Lord," that we are to live as children of light, just as Yosef did. We need to all. And we also need to, not just adding, we need to also be a servant, just like Yosef was a servant, just as Yeshua was a servant. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you need to learn how to be a servant. To serve. To serve. And to give your life as a sacrifice for others. And just as Yeshua took on the very nature of a slave, a servant, and said, Philippians, we need to do the same thing so that God can cleanse us, purify us, get us ready to serve the very kingdom of God. That we would see our Jewish people be saved, as it says in Romans 11, that all Israel shall be saved. That's our goal, that's our desire. And what a shining example to follow in the life of Yosef, a man after God's own heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen.